Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at Harrisonburg and our Elkton campus at 9 or 10:30 a.m. or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45 a.m. Explore to celebrate recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
Thank you for joining us in worship this Christmas Eve. My name is Pastor Jared. I get to serve here as the campus pastor. And I'm going to continue our reading this evening in Matthew chapter 2. The text will be on the screen. I'd invite you to follow along. Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. It says, "After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, 'Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him.'" Verse 3 says, "When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. 'In Bethlehem in Judea,' they replied, 'for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel.' Then Herod called the Magi, the wise men, secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go, search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report back to me so that I too may go and worship him.' After they, the wise men, had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. And then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route." This is the word of the Lord for us this evening. Have you ever stopped to consider why a group of men that the Bible calls wise, like that's implying that they're really smart, right? Have you ever thought about why a group of wise men gave a small child yellow shiny rocks, essential oils, and what amounts to a gift certificate to the funeral home? Have you ever thought about this? Like, who does that? And perhaps more importantly, why would you do that? You can tell these gifts are a little bit different. You might even say strange. I didn't check the spot price on gold before I got to church this evening, but I'm guessing an ounce of it's going to cost you about $4,500 today. But to an 18-month-old boy, to Jesus, these were just shiny yellow rocks or coins to play with. Frankincense was sap that was drawn from a tree and refined to be used in worship services in the temple as incense. And myrrh, in this ancient culture, when they heard myrrh, they immediately thought of death. That's why I said it's akin to a gift certificate to Kiger's. Like, who does that for a small child? Some gifts are just different. I wonder, have you ever received a strange gift? I mean, maybe fruitcake strange or lighted bedroom slippers strange. Anybody? A strange gift. Hopefully not a gift certificate to the funeral home, but I've received a strange gift, a few, and I brought one with me, and I think it falls under this category because it's just an old license plate. This is kind of a strange gift. I mean, it's basically stamped aluminum, right? But I love it. This license plate only has three letters on it. It says UOK. And to make this strange gift even better, my grandma gave it to me. Now, normally you would think of grandma's good for some socks, right? I'm almost 40 and I still count on granny for socks. I'm just saying. But a license plate, I love it. You see, and it's not because I collect license plates or even scrap aluminum for that matter. It's because this gift tells a story. And I have a picture of the story that this gift tells. That's my grandfather there on the left, Gerald Howdyshell. And that's me. This was circa 1991. And we're sitting on the tailgate of his Ford Ranger pickup truck after what was apparently a really good day of fishing. And if you look down in the right-hand corner, you see a license plate that says UOK. You see, that's just one story that this gift reminds me of. When my granddad passed away, Grandma gave this to me, one of the license plates off of his truck. And every time I see it, man, I think of these kind of stories. I think of hunting and fishing, and I think of what I used to say. We went to Hardee's to eat breakfast with the old people. Man, it was living for a young boy. You see, some gifts are different. They tell a story. And that's really how we need to think about the gifts that we read about of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They are telling us an important story about who Jesus is in the Gospels and who he is today. Throughout the Bible, if you begin to unpack these gifts just a little bit, throughout the Bible story, gold was often given to kings, to people of royalty as a symbol of paying honor and respect. And if you remember back in verse 2 of Matthew, it says that these wise men, they came with one single focus, and that was to worship the King of the Jews. That's who the Magi were searching for. When they placed gold before Jesus, they were effectively saying, Jesus is King. Jesus is King. The gift of gold reminds us of Jesus' kingly nature, his all-powerful status and ruler of the cosmos, gentle and humble at heart. This is King Jesus. Frankincense, that was a special incense refined and prized in worship. It was used by priests in the temple to worship the Lord. When that gift, when that story is placed before Jesus, it brings the story alive for us because Jesus is our advocate. He is the bridge builder. If you look in the root of the Latin word of priest, it literally means bridge builder. Jesus is our bridge to relationship with God the Father. He is fully God and fully man, come to reconcile you and I into relationship with a holy God. The Bible refers to him later in Hebrews as our great high priest. That's the gift. That's the story that frankincense tells. And when you start to understand how myrrh was used in this ancient culture, it reminds us that this baby born at Christmas was born to die. Myrrh shows up later at the end of Jesus' life when his friends come and bring spices, including myrrh, to prepare his body for burial after the cross. And this gift, this story, reminds us of the bitterness of Jesus' suffering in his time here on earth. And it reminds us that it was by the shedding of his blood and his life given for us on the cross that we can be forgiven and free. This is the story that myrrh tells you and I. You see, these wise men, they brought these gifts and they tell us a story. These guys were likely key cultural influencers in the Eastern culture, and they prided themselves on being in the know and being about worldly wisdom and philosophy. They represent prestige and wealth, and they symbolize the best the world has to offer. And when they show up into our story, and before they get to our yard nativity sets, when they show up in Matthew's gospel, it's likely that they've just traveled what could be a 1,000-mile camelback journey through deserts, wilderness, and they've been following a star they see in the sky. If you think about this, these men have completely reoriented their life for one single pursuit of seeing King Jesus. And so they set out on this long journey, and when they finally get to see him, when they finally encounter Jesus in the home, as the scripture tells us, with Mary, his mother, it says they bow down and worship him. And in that culture, that means that these men of prestige and wealth and status, they got down on their knees and they went all the way down and placed their forehead on the ground before what we believe Jesus would have been 18 months old at that point. They worshiped Jesus. And they finally regain their posture and stand back up, and the scripture tells us that they open their treasures, they open their very best, and they give Jesus gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They're telling us a story. They're telling us about the greatest gift ever given, and that is Christ Jesus himself. This is Christmas, friends. This is Christmas. We've been studying this story the last several weeks as a church family together. And as I've thought about these gifts, and yeah, they're strange, they're a little bit different. I thought about another gift from my childhood. This gift was named CJ, and I found a picture of her. When I was a kid, I remember distinctly referring to wanting a dog as a pick-me-up dog. Now, the best I can tell you, that just meant I wanted a dog that I could pick up as a kid. I'm not sure why that was the only qualification, but so it is. Well, CJ came into our life as one of the greatest gifts we ever received. And she was different. Now, not different because she was a hard-headed beagle that was incessantly food-driven and would follow her nose anywhere. Like, if you know beagles, she had it. CJ was a different kind of gift because she required a response from us. You see, it wasn't long before this gift needed to go outside to go to the bathroom, right? It wasn't long after that this gift needed food and water. You see, CJ was a gift that you could not open and put on the shelf and forget about. It was a gift that required our attention every day thereafter. She was a great gift. And friends, that reminds me of the Christmas story because it's not that frankincense and myrrh or gold require anything of you and I tonight, but the gift of Jesus, the gift of a Savior, servant, King, that requires our attention and our response. I'm not sure if you've thought about it or not, but in your own way tonight, in your story, you have followed the Lord's guidance here this evening. Maybe you had a star that set out above the building. I don't know. But I do know that you don't end up in a church on Christmas Eve at 5 p.m. in Elkton, Virginia by accident. You may have been invited by a friend. You may have seen an invitation somewhere. But I believe that you have followed God's prevenient grace in your life. He's brought you here this evening to hear this story told by these gifts. To hear about Jesus. And we've gotten to worship through singing and song, through reading his word. And hey, I'm even hoping that somebody filled that offering box back there with gold nuggets. I'm just saying it's biblical if you want to try it. But for all of that, with all of those things, there's a question that you and I have to answer. How are we going to respond to the greatest gift ever given? How are we going to respond to the coming of Jesus at Christmas? The Gospels tell us that Jesus came to save people, to save you and I from our sin, to be free from a life that was ruled by passion and desire. And it's through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection that we can be made new again, that we can be forgiven and have new life and brought into relationship with him. And friends, the wise men, as we read their story, when they encountered Jesus, they responded. They responded in humbling themselves and worshiping him and declaring him as king over their life. They not only gave him their attention, they worshiped him and gave him their very best. Will you? Will you give Jesus your very best? You see, it's a decision that each one of us is going to make this evening before we walk out that door. Whether you respond or not, you're making a decision. Because we've heard about the gift. And I would invite you to receive it tonight. To receive Jesus, the greatest gift ever given. Here in just a moment, we're going to continue in worship by lighting candles and singing together. This is kind of a traditional way. It's a way of remembering that Jesus is the light of the world. And as we worship him through song and through candlelight, If you want to respond to the invitation to know Jesus, I would just invite you to pray. You could pray, you could say, Lord, I believe you came to save the lost and broken people like me. That I believe you are the Son of God who died for my sins, and I want to live for you. I want to leave here tonight different because I have you in my life. It can be that simple. You use your own words tonight as you would pray and seek the Lord. But I would ask you, will you leave this encounter different? Would you stand with me as we prepare to pray together? All right, let's pray together, friends. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity to gather. Lord, to worship you, to contemplate the greatest gift ever given, a Savior, a King. So Lord Jesus, I pray that you would search our hearts tonight. Lord, I pray that you would forgive me for the times I've put you on a shelf when I've not allowed you to be Lord and ruler and King of my life. Because, Lord, the truth is you're either King of all of our life or you're not King at all. We can't maintain control of one portion or a part of our life and think you're happy with just a little bit. Lord, forgive me for the times I've done that. Lord Jesus, we thank you tonight for grace, for your saving grace. And Lord, I pray for that heart in the room tonight that wants to receive you, to know you as their Lord and Savior. Holy Spirit, come and speak to their hearts tonight. May we all peer over the manger in wonder and adoration of who you are. And may we respond like the wise men. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. In John chapter 8, verse 12, it says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Psalm 27:1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? We don't have to fear. We don't have to fear. Tonight, as we have lit the Christ candle and we prepare to receive that light, there's symbolism in that. As you would receive the light. That's really the message. But if you don't have a candle, you can make your way to the back. Parents, we're trusting you with the littles and keeping an eye on him. Guys, with your beards, be careful. But I would just invite you to spend, has anybody been busy in this Christmas season? Yeah, I didn't think anybody would be, but man, what an opportunity to be still and listen for the voice of God to speak to you tonight while we worship. So if you have your candles ready, we'll lean in. And once we get started, Miss Beth will lead us in worship.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button to stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.